Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Around Town. Very excited today. We have Rita and Marcus with us. For those who don't know them, they are our happy couple that own Hotel Trundle. And wow, what a splash they've made in our community. They took over three historic buildings, built about what I think it's 40, 41 rooms, hotel, but they've been written up all over the place, and people love it, and it adds such a great flair into our downtown community that's growing and growing. And we're lucky to have them here today, but we're going to ask Rita and Marcus to talk a little bit about how they got to this dream of Hotel Trundle, where the name came from, why did they choose where they did, and why they're continuing to invest. And, you know, maybe we can get some secrets out of them about who some secret guests were, or even what their future plans are. But today, Rita, Marcus, welcome to Around the Town.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Now, we're excited to have you guys. And, you know, y'all have done something that's just really incredible. And it's amazing when you get to see the write-ups about you and telling people that Columbia, South Carolina. I've been able to place several people at the hotel that have come here to visit. And from the time they walked into the door, the time they left, they talk about the experience, being greeted, feeling welcome. And then it's so in, hey, have you, you know, here are your, all the different things you can do and where you can go. They just felt like it was like a welcome center wrapped up in a hotel. And I think that's the greatest compliment that anybody could have, especially in the hospitality world, where, you know, you deal with people in the best and the worst situations. But tell us a little bit about your background. How did y'all connect? How did you decide that Columbia, South Carolina is going to be the place for this dream? And just tell us about the experience, how you got there.
Okay, well, I think a lot of it chose us. So our backgrounds are in architecture. So we both met at UNC Charlotte in architecture school. And then from there, we were working. I was working at a firm in Charlotte and the whole downturn in 2010 and everything. So Rita just graduated. No architecture jobs we found. I was laid off from mine. So we kind of made our way back to Columbia in Orangeburg. And at that point, her parents were opening a new hotel in West Columbia. And they needed some people to work there, and I'm handy. And said they need a maintenance guy. I said, okay, well, I need a job. Yeah.
So,
Rita's working front desk. Yeah. We taught night school, like at ITT.
We had seven jobs for a couple years.
Just like doing stuff on the side, and just whatever we could do. Yeah.
My parents, I grew up in Orangeburg, and my parents have had franchise hotels for 40 years. So that's kind of how the hospitality piece came into it. Yes. And so by their graciousness and just, you know, they let us live in Earlwood for free. They had a rental there. And so we just hustled for a couple of years. And then I found a position at a local firm and I worked there for a couple of years and just decided that architecture just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So we had our first son, Easton, and he inspired me to kind of join the family business where I did a lot of the HR and business development and property improvements for their current hotels. And then we, at that time, there was the millennial shift happening where everyone was starting to look for experiential stays and like everybody, you know, a lot of the travelers were looking for something besides the vanilla box. So Marcus and I had all these really great ideas and we had learned about all of the tax incentives that were around Columbia. So we were finally convinced my parents to look into investing in a historic property that we could upfit and turn into a boutique hotel. So we were riding around and we saw Hotel Trundle, but they were not interested in leasing. Our structure currently is leasing. And
they meaning your parents.
Yeah, my parents, right. So, you know, us having the tools to kind of build out a floor plan, we were like, maybe we can
do this on our own.
We can do it by ourselves.
You know, because the developers were going to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we just needed to fill it with furniture. Okay, we could probably make that happen.
Finish that.
Yeah. And and it worked. You know, all the numbers seemed to work out right. And
timing, location. Yeah. At that time in 2016 to 2018, when we were developing Hotel Trundle, Columbia was at a point where it was just going to explode. Like we, the unicorn is our logo because it was truly a unicorn opportunity. I mean, everything lined up perfectly for us, and it's like an opportunity of a lifetime. And so we jumped on it, and 5 years later,
haven't looked back.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Of course, now we look back and we think, like, how crazy we were
to
make this happen. Like, how hard could it be? We're only 41 rooms.
Yeah,
we can fill 41 rooms.
This.
We don't need a brand. Yeah. Piece of cake. But it is a challenge. Yeah. It's a daily challenge. But love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, from the smile that you both have tells me y'all made the right decision.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody told me a long time ago, if it's not fun, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Life is way too short. So if it's not fun, don't do it. And I think you have to have that attitude. I think, you know, what y'all did and figured out how to maneuver it, make it this great. These are the type of stories that people need to hear in Columbia, South Carolina, because we do have an entrepreneurial spirit. And I believe truly when I graduated from college and stayed here, it's because I watched people start businesses and people supported it. That's the one thing you cannot take away from Columbia. It will support a small business. And they do it proudly and compassionately. And I think that makes a difference. So you know you've got a chance, you know, to do that. And you start talking about lining up. I do have to ask, do you eat the fried chicken or the fried fish at the Biddy Banquet? Because if you're from Orangeburg, you had to eat at the Biddy Banquet.
I don't know Biddy Banquet, but I know Dario.
Oh, my.
Where's Biddy Banquet?
Right down, right coming off, not far where Orangeburg Distributor was, right there.
How
across.
Do I not know Biddy Banquet?
How can you? You're not from Orangeburg,
oh
but she
gosh.
Is not from Orangeburg, South Carolina.
I'm going to go there tomorrow.
The Biddy Banquet, it's a fried chicken or fried fish capital. You have to go there. That's like that. It's on the fried chicken tour, by the way.
Yeah,
on the map about fried chicken places.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well,
there you go.
Learn something new about Orangeburg. I thought I knew everything Orangeburg. Orangeburg was very good to us and our family. So,
I always laugh. Orangeburg is it's really the stuff that's going on downtown. It's going to be really great for them. When y'all started, in the idea was, I'm assuming y'all were like, all right, we want an independent thing. We want the experience. What did you model it after? Was there any hotels or experiences or things that caught your eye and you said, you know what, that's the direction? What were the influences for Trundle?
There were a lot. I think every experience that we had when we went to a hotel, we would take little pieces of it, like what we did like, what we didn't like, and we just kind of meshed them all together. Yeah. It's like, for example, I think one of the best ones is
the welcome beverage.
Yeah. Welcome beverage. Like if I go to a hotel, I would like to be greeted with a beer or something. So, okay, well, let's do that. And, you know, that's what the freedom you have when you have a independent property, you can kind of do what you want. And we continue to do that. So every time we travel now, we always stay at a different boutique hotel. Even if we like we frequently go to like New York, and even if we're there for 3 days, we might stay at two different hotels,
right,
or, you know, three different hotels. Even though it's a pain to pack up, we want to experience something different. Because it's important not only just to keep up and see what everybody else is doing, but like maybe that's something that we would want to do.
Inspiration. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we knew more so what we didn't want to do with a lot of the franchise hotels. You have to adhere to a lot of their standards and products and vendors and, a lot of the time, it's not what the guest experience should be designed around. It's more of a business. And we are in a business, but we're also in the business of hospitality. And we wanted to bring kindness back to hospitality. Like, we wanted it to be all about the guest. So when you have somebody over, you offer them something to drink or something to eat. And so that's what we want to do for our guests. So immediately they feel welcome. Smile, a beverage, and something to eat. So that's where we started. And we knew we had three goals, which are our pillars around Hotel Trundle. And one of those is to have the resources to show our boys the world, which we have definitely taken advantage of, too, was to give back to our community and lift Columbia up with all of our local like artisans and makers. And because, you know, probably not so much anymore, but even just 5 or 6, 7 years ago, Columbia wasn't on anybody's radar. And so we wanted to help be a part of that. And I think now Columbia is just a star. I mean, it's just such a beautiful city with so much to offer. And so that's kind of where we started, and hopefully, you know, continue to go. So
y'all were going through this. So you looked at these properties, said, hey, you know, we can work with our landlord. He can help us build this out. We can lease it from there. We know what the experiences want. Talk to us a little bit about what were some of the hurdles y'all ran into that you had to overcome to get to the opening?
I remember, you know, where of course, when you get to the end, most people in these projects, you get to the end and your funds are starting to deplete a little bit, right? So it's like, well, we're not going to hire anybody to move the furniture in. We've hired some staff. We're going to do all the furniture ourselves, which we'll probably never do again. Boxes to the ceiling. I think one guy that we had come just said, I'm not going to do it. Like the container doors opened, and I swear it looked like they built the container around the boxes. They're like so perfect. There's not an ounce of empty space in there. He's like, nah, I'm good. So there's that. And even after we opened with the tax credits, there were some hurdles with that, because I think we jumped the gun a little bit on before we got 100% approval. So we had to make some modifications, like shut off about 8 rooms to make some changes while we were open. So that was a challenge. And then I think which Rita could probably talk more to, just getting your name out there. You know, I would say it's a whole lot easier if you can slap Hilton on the side of it or Marriott, you know. But when it's a new brand, you're launching, nobody knows anything about you, to get your name out there on every single platform, that's a tough one. That's the toughest part. We knew once people got there, we could deliver. And they come back. It's getting them to Hotel Trundle.
But like I was saying earlier, Columbia was just ready. And we were very lucky because we incorporated so many of our local businesses, and they just supported us so much that they helped us spread the word. And so being new and boutique hotel, very cool, you know, it really kind of boosted our ramp up phase. But then when Beyonce came, we had a big giant bus park outside of our hotel. So everybody thought Beyonce was staying with us. And I was like, I can't confirm or deny it's guest privacy, but it was her opener, DJ Khaled. So that gave us a big boost too. So that was awesome.
And he posted Snapchat.
He extended
his stay for a little longer.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. So
was DJ the Khaled the most famous person who stayed at Hotel Trundle?
No. Lil Wayne stayed the other day.
Yeah, he did.
Tim Tebow.
Kamala Harris.
Kirk Hammett with Metallica. If you're Metallica.
Vivica Fox. We've had
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
He didn't stay. He just like needed a place to rest before. Yeah.
That's really cool. People come and stay. Yeah.
That's cool though, but those are the type of people that talk to other artists and those management groups say, hey, they were great to work with and where to go. You talked a little bit about trips to New York and staying in different hotels and trying to take experience. Tell us about that. What are some of those boutique? I'm like y'all, I like to find these little hotels to stay in. And I sometimes, unfortunately, get in a bad habit of getting to know the person there, and I don't want to stay there all the time. But I like to go see different experiences and see a different neighborhood and be part of that. Give us a little insight on some of your favorites. And was there any aspects of those hotels that you took back and said, you know what, we're going to emulate that, or we're going to make it better than what they did, which is usually what you do when you take something. So
I would say, you know, now we spend more. So we've stayed a lot more now after opening hotel trundles. So I think we just, it probably wasn't so much market research that we had before when designing it. But now if when we were going to design one, like we pulled.
Hotel Trundle was truly a unicorn. We went in eyes wide shut. You know, it was just, you know, when I look back on it, and we were so naive and just did not know the mountains ahead of us. But our parents and everyone that supported us didn't say a word. They just believed in us. And I'll just forever be grateful for that support. But
city support was amazing. It was huge.
But some of the hotels that we've gone to since Hotel Trundle, my favorite is the Ramble in Denver, Colorado. They've designed their building to look historic. They've done everything perfectly. The space planning is perfect. The guest check-in process. They have a beautiful bar. I mean, gorgeous. And we're taking some of that influence and kind of building upon that in the Flutter Wing, which is our 5-room expansion,
right,
on Main Street. So that's one of my favorites. I think customer service-wise.
We're taking pieces too from like One Hotel in New York. That's another good one. Oh, gorgeous. There's a bathrooms, you know, similar kind of like bathrooms bleed into the guest room.
Yeah, it's very cool.
The Line in DC. Oh, that's another really beautiful one. It's the lobby's like this. There's an old church. These huge groin vaults going across. There's like 4 different bars in there. 2 restaurants. They took the pipe organ and all the pipes, and they've like meshed them together and put lights in them. And that's this chandelier
giant
that hangs
chandelier
down.
It's just really has cool. Such a presence. And when you walk in, you're just like, wow. And so, we want Hotel Trundle to be like that.
So can we assume that there'll be constant changes at Trundle?
Oh yes, I'm always drooling. Like, what can we do? What can we replace?
I'm like, no, we just paid off furniture.
I know,
like last week. We just have a little breathing room. Yeah.
I'm like, let's
and she's
talk.
Ready to go.
Let's talk about our property improvement plan.
You know, they say when you're done, you have to either move or start renovating. You know that's the way it works. That's fascinating. I stayed at a hotel in DC. We were up there doing some lobbying a couple weeks ago, and it was like being in my grandmother's living room. It was like all 70s kind of wood, and had this huge L sofa in my room. The rooms were huge. Wow. Had a record player and a bunch of albums.
Where was it?
It's called the Eaton.
Yeah,
we stayed at the Eaton.
Because I remember the record player, yeah. Because our son's name is Easton, so we go, always stay at the Eaton.
Yeah, we stayed at the Eaton,
And the bar downstairs was great, but the room, I mean, I got up after all day, we've been pounding the pavement, this and that, and I went in there and just turned on some music and sat back and had a drink. And
it's a nice vibe, right?
Yeah. You know, it was awesome. And I started to notice that's becoming a more of a trend, too, now that you're seeing a lot of hotels. The Emma Line in Charleston now has it in their room where you have music and playing. But
yeah, Gaze Hotel does that.
So today, you know, when you started off, like you said, you were pushing to try to compete, you know, against the Flags, and they had their reservations. What kind of platforms are y'all on to now? I mean, how do you keep up today, keeping Trundle in people's minds and pop it up? Are you on all the different hotel sites today? You know, is social media taken off enough that it really is the one that's driving you? What's working for you guys?
We have a lot of components to that kind of aspect of Hotel Trundle. We have social media, which is a big component for our branding, brand recognition. And then we also have our website developer and our SEO manager kind of help us with our campaign strategy to keep us kind of at the top of the list. TripAdvisor reviews kind of keep us at the top of people's searches. So
do you push the customer base to that? Hey, you know, y'all, you help me out there.
Like as for reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have little cards that we give guests that if you had a good experience, you know, let us know. And we'd love to hear your feedback, whether it's good or bad. And I've been very lucky to have an insane amount of good feedback, because as soon as somebody says something that we could improve on, we make sure we contact our guests and talk to them and hear them out. And There have been times where we're just not going to be able to make somebody happy, and that's okay too. We're not a fit for everybody, but we have had our fair share of guest recovery, which, you know, is part of the game. But for the most part, our guests love Hotel Trundle and leave really great feedback. And we're always, you know, available at the hotel, and I think that makes a difference too. We're not at the top of a building somewhere and not approachable and can't talk to. So that's always nice.
Yeah. And
our guests have such great stories. My favorite thing is to sit in the lobby on Friday afternoons and watch wedding parties come in because they're families and friends that haven't seen each other for years. So they're just, you know, catching up and talking, and it's just so joyful and it's just really special. And I just like to watch that. And it's nice. And I love that Hotel Trundle is the springboard for that.
Yeah. So it's a destination. Mm-hmm. Which is a testimony and a compliment to you guys. I mean, if it wasn't the two of y'all to do that and put your experience and take that risk, those folks wouldn't have that experience. And when you think about, you talk about the joy and all that. Well, to me, you know, it's the same thing. Like when you go to a restaurant, you go to a restaurant and have a good meal and it's great, but the company you're with makes the difference if it's a great meal. And the atmosphere is how it goes together. So you're creating that. You're creating some lifetime memories out of that.
Yeah, and
that's a compliment.
I love knowing that. Yeah.
So, you know, we always have to kind of know, what's the craziest request y'all have gotten at the hotel?
Well, I've got a
some crazy
one.
Stories.
Yeah. Oh, well, then we take those too.
Look, but
I know patrons can be difficult. I was in the restaurant business for 20 years, and you know, I always told people, you see people at their best and their worst in the service industry. But it's also, you know, great. But you always had some people that you're just like, I mean, could have you listened to what you just asked me to do? I mean, you wouldn't do that anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's always funny because you can laugh at it afterwards, you know, and like you said, you can write a book, you know, and maybe one day there will be, you know, Hotel Confidential or something like Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Confidential, yeah. Where you're getting a view of what really happens in the back.
It's nuts. Yeah. But on one hand, I'm like, I'm so glad guests feel this comfortable at Hotel Trundle. But on the same hand, I'm like, really? One time, I just feel bad talking about anything. I'm just not saying that about anybody.
So we're waiting for the book. Rita's going to have a book in the next 5 years that'll have all these stories in it. This will be chapter 9. So y'all handle. But as y'all are continuing to grow and you're getting the base and more things are happening in Columbia, you know, one of our things we're trying to really push is telling the story of Columbia and outreaching, because we get 15 million visitors a year. And as y'all know, our challenge is to get more than 5 million to spend the night, more opportunities to do things, hopefully with more stuff, activities at the riverfront. Hopefully we can get some more concerts and more things to, you know, really generate and get people to spend the night. People come through here. It's amazing to me, the number. Put it in perspective, I know, you know, this Myrtle Beach is like 22 million people. They all spend the night because so how do we get some more folks, not just to be their pass through, but to spend the night and experience? And it's interesting to me as I look at the guests that I've met. So I was out on Soda City. I try to go down there almost every weekend if I can pick up some things, but I did a booth the other weekend just to do it. Just ask the mayor a question. And I just stood out there and answered questions. Almost everybody who came up either just moved here or was a visitor. And we're talking France, Sweden, Arizona, you name it. But all the people who have moved here and had no connection other than that they came here and visited and said, I really like the vibe and the fact that people are so friendly and inviting. And it's like, this never would have happened in my neighborhood where I lived before. You know, I had a lady who was bringing her child here and she came to talk and she was just very concerned, you know, that we're a southern city and, you know, how her daughter needs to make sure she's, you know, has a diverse kind of friendship group. I'm like, look around us. Yeah. I mean, if this isn't a testimony to our community, I don't know what is. But as we're continuing to tell that story, I mean, what do y'all see that we could do better to help improve your business, but also improve the image of Columbia?
That's a good question. I think an untapped resource, or probably a resource that we could capitalize more on, are the rivers. We have such a beautiful river front, and how the three rivers collide. I mean, I walk that boardwalk almost every day, and it looks different every single day. And it's such a wonderful natural resource that goes right through our city. Congaree National Park, we get so many visitors for Congaree National Park around the world to come and see, because there's like national park hoppers. And
Especially Firefly.
yeah, synchronized fireflies. But I think those natural resources that we haven't really taken advantage of their full potential could probably open up a whole new market for Columbia as a destination. Because we have arts and culture, which continue exponentially to grow and attract more businesses that attract more people. And our drive market are, Charleston, Atlanta, Greenville, Charlotte, and that fifth one always fluctuates. Like we get Raleigh, we get a lot of people from New York, Florence,
DC.
DC. But I think with our Southeast, and currently we're targeting our hyper local market, which is the Southeast. But that's what they want. They want to see that Southern hospitality, because you're right. When they come in, especially from the North, they're like, everyone's just so nice here. And I'm like, yeah, I know. We're pretty cool.
That's the reason why all your neighbors retire in the South. You know, I tell
Right.
people, why start there? Just come here. I mean, you're going to end up here at some point anyway.
Right.
You might as well just start here.
And I think like student retention also, which I see and I hear more and more of, like people will come here to USC and Benedict and all the great schools in town and stay here, because hopefully we're creating jobs that fit the profiles of those generations, and then recruit people that have those really big creative ideas and the dream big, dreaming big. And Columbia, you can dream big in Columbia. That was our third goal, was to create a dream come true that we just never thought was going to be possible. So Columbia is it.
The dream stories are the best. And I think the more examples of that that we have in our community, the more I think people gravitate and want to be part of and know that's, you know, that they have an opportunity to follow their dream right here. They don't have to go anywhere. And people here will be there for you and support you and drive it. As you, the river, you know, we haven't announced it yet, but we did a deal with SCNG, well, Dominion. I keep calling them SCNG, but Dominion to, they have about almost 400 acres on the riverfront that they control, and we've done a lease with them for the next 100 years to access that. So beyond the zoo, we can go all the way up to Saluda Shoals, which opens up opportunities for us to get more kayakers on the river, allows us to create some mountain biking trails, some more walking trails, but even doing things like clearing out some spots where we could have like a hammock park. You know, where you can just go and set up some places where we can put some infrastructure that a food truck on the weekend could get in there and set up. So as people on the trail, you could picnic or you could start at the top. And the Mungo Foundation is helping connect the part from the dam to I-20. And so if we can put all these pieces together over the next several years, you'd actually be able to have somebody take a blue bike and from downtown after they walk out of the hotel, go to the zoo, go all the way up to the dam, ride around, connect, end up in Cottontown at Warmouth, and back to your hotel without ever being on a main street.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, I've met so
That's
many
amazing.
people on the river.
Oh, yeah.
We took 24 economic development folks. We got them on a Sunday at Columbia. They called and said, "Oh, well, they're here, and y'all's turn is on Sunday." I'm like, "Son, are you kidding me?" I mean, the Sunday is relaxed time around Columbia. There's not much going on. We ended up packing a cooler, taking them all on the river, and did a picnic. And you know, floated on the river for 3 hours. So they saw Colombia from a totally different angle.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great
Japan,
idea.
Japan, London, France. Guy wasn't from Paris, but a little town outside. I can't remember. But these people from all over the world and the United States. And it might have been the best experience because it was different.
Yeah.
But they saw Colombia from a totally different aspect. And then they saw our natural resources and how powerful they can be, you know, as we struggle to figure out the riverfront because we're only limited places you can build. We really have very little. Our sister cities across the street are up on a bluff, so they have more advantage. But I think if we can figure out the natural tourism piece, get more people floating on the river, more people kayaking, taking advantage of the class two rapids, that could be a whole different tourism mechanism and a way to get people to stay here. You know, it's not just a zoo, you know, it's a lot more to that. Enjoy it while you're here.
You know, it can't be replicated. It's unique to Colombia. And so like, if you want this experience, the whole package from arts, culture, dining, you know, hotels, then river, I mean, you can't reproduce that anywhere else because it's Colombia's, you know, one of our crowning jewels. So that's just something. I'm excited.
And we locally, you know, we don't utilize it as much. It's amazing how many people I've met that we've taken on trips on the river who'd never been on the river. People who'd lived here 10, 20, 30 years, never been on the river. Like it's a beautiful asset. And so I think the more access we can create through these different points now, the more opportunities I think people really enjoy it. Because when you go, I mean, it's a cadre of all types of people. I mean, there are families out there, there are guys out there with, have gone and bought inner tubes and put the little electric motor on it and they go up and down. They're having a ball, but they're pulling their kids behind them. And, you know, it's fun, but a great asset, but something we got to figure out. Well, as y'all continue to operate, are there any plans for a new addition, a hotel, rooftop bar? I mean,
well, we have
swimming pool, movie stars.
Say that. You just put a pool on the roof, right? Yeah. I'm like, I don't think we can do that. well, we have the additions for the 5 rooms over Trace. We're doing, we have 2 duplexes in Cottontown that we're renovating right now. And those will be act as kind of an extension, I guess, technically short term.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
But they'll be, you can rent them through the hotel. And I don't know how many buildings or designs for hotels we've done in and around the city.
We have schematic hotels in almost every historic building in Columbia.
We've had buildings under contract before everything was like the right time.
Yeah.
Like everything lined up for Hotel Toronto. It seems like after that, we've been getting these ones. We're just either a little early or a little late.
We have the money. We don't have the deal. We can't, you know, land the deal, or we have like the best deal. We just can't get the money because who knew a pandemic was going to be rolling down the track. So, you know, and now the market's not
the market's
the best. So, right now, so everyone's a little hesitant, but we have all the great ideas. You know, we got sweat equity over here. Okay. So anybody listening?
Hey, you've got 2 folks here ready to make the decision. I do see the market. I mean, it seems like to me that we're getting back to pre-pandemic stays. I don't know if you're seeing that, but it seems like what I'm just hearing out there is a lot more traffic coming in and things are starting to grow. People are, you know, more people having big weddings and everything else and things.
I mean, the stays for sure. Yeah, I think that's back. It's now it's interest rates and
all the other hurdles.
Growth opportunities.
Or people, you know, a little nervous about putting their money out there right now, just keeping it close. So
if you did
it's
another,
like we
hotel.
Knew it would be successful if we can get it off the ground,
right?
Like, and the people that we maybe would, you know, work with on that agree. Also, it's just a matter of like being able to get it off
the ground. Get all the timing right. If y'all make the next step, we taking it up a notch. We're gonna keep doing. We gonna go to the 4-star, maybe.
I think it would go to the next level.
We're gonna be naive again and just jump in the pool. And
I would be willing to bet with my own money that if you put a 4-star hotel in this town, it will be completely booked out. I think you could easily do a boutique hotel from 100 to 120 keys, not any bigger. I don't know if I'd go much under 100, but I think it would be filled nonstop. It's like the number one thing that comes around. We are having small talk conversations.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, because Columbia went from a town to a city. It really has. I mean, if you look at the way people, they're spending money on food, they're enjoying markets. They want the experience. Exactly what you talked about. Today, people want experiences. They're going, I mean, look, Eagles played here, you know, $300 a ticket. Why? Because you got an experience that you may not ever have again. But people are doing that. I mean, I was at the Township the other day for a concert, completely sold out, you know, and there were people coming from Calhoun County and they spent the night in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just like, we're just going to stay. We're going to make a stay. And, you know, there's advantage of where we're located between these three highways.
Definitely.
And, yeah,
you know, 20 minutes from other counties, but far enough that somebody doesn't want to drive and stay. But there's this angle where, like, especially now with the Masters, everybody's staying here, and you look at the Main Street restaurants, how they're just filled. I mean, on a Tuesday night, when I first moved here in 1988, you literally could hit a golf ball from one end of Main Street to the other and never touch a person. And on Friday afternoon of the weekends, it's like tumbleweed.
Ghost town, huh? Yeah.
Nobody, zero. And now you look at the life and what's going on, and people are thriving. I think we're at that stage. We're ready for that leap, and having it grow hometown growth would be so much better than a third party coming from another city to do it, because it's going to come.
Right. Yeah. They're already coming.
Yeah. And I think they're ready for it. And people said the same thing about halls, right? Like, who's going to spend that much on a steak in Columbia? You can't get a reservation.
A reservation, lunch, dinner, or brunch.
Right.
I mean, there's never not full.
I know. And that's great, because I think one of the silver linings about the pandemic, I mean, I know it was just the worst experience for everybody, but even for me and Marcus, Marcus and I, our priorities shifted quite a bit during that time.
I guarantee it.
And it was like, previously, I felt like I needed to be everywhere all at once and do everything. But the pandemic allowed me to slow down and get a perspective and understand what was important. And that importance is something that I'll, you know, hold very close to my heart, is the memories and the time I spend with my family, my friends, and that time matters, and where I choose to spend that time are places that Columbia is growing, like, because all of our independent restaurants and shops, and because those owners are there, they have such great stories, and it's such an enriching kind of, it adds to that memory, that, you know, wholehearted living.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, we came here kicking and screaming in 2010. We were going to be big shock architects and in New York and live in the penthouse and design really cool buildings. And so never in a million years did I think I'd be
in
South Carolina.
A penthouse and architect salary.
I know. We were going to own the company.
But you can as a hotelier. So, yeah. You know, now you need to buy, you know, a great tall building, and you just make the top floor your apartment.
Hey, you know, you never know.
Overview. So, you know, from your standpoint and what you see, what are some of the businesses or opportunities you think we should recruit? Where should we focus on to enhance Columbia from an experiential standpoint? What do you hear? I mean, you probably hear this from, I wish y'all had this, or, you know, this would be a great additive, or, you know, obviously to me, every time I go to New York, I walk around, I'm like, yeah, why can't we get, you know, 10 small little places like that to shoehorn in here and do that? What do you see that would be a good add-on for Columbia, something that we should pursue?
I mean,
I just feel like every time, you know, there is so much growth happening, or a new restaurant popping up, or this happening
every day,
where it wasn't when we first opened.
Yeah. I think the people, so when I dig into our website and where our guests looking for information, besides our homepage and our offers page and all that good stuff, is the, things to do page. They're looking for places to eat, places to shop, and things to do. So, I mean, any kind of growth in that area, I think, will always benefit Columbia. And I think not that I'm against those kind of big box chains, but I think, like, Tupelo Honey coming is a great addition. You know, all the stuff that's going on in Bull Street, like, more, I don't know if homegrown is the
more word. Regional.
Yeah, more regional kind of restaurants and retailers that people just love. You know, like, you know, Asheville's a great little area that has so many cute little restaurants and shops, and, you know, it's just that stuff that makes it so unique and special. So, but I think Columbia, I mean, we are,
yeah, I mean, our main street's
great. We got breweries, restaurants. Mm-hmm. I mean, Main Street, I'm partial to Main Street, obviously, but
you know, I don't know why.
I mean, but we just had, you know, the gift shop move right next to us, which I know our guests are going to adore and love because it's so cute. And so I think more walkable spaces, you know, that you can shop. We have Mast on Main Street too. So,
I mean, we have some guests staying with us right now that keep extending because they're waiting for their grandchild to be born. And they're like, you know, we've parked our car and we haven't gotten in it for, I don't know, for a few days because they just want to walk everywhere. They're just like, we're just trying to walk everywhere. And like, so they're seeing, really experiencing the city and going up and down. And
which is a great compliment. Which means there's enough stuff to keep them satisfied as vacationers, or however you want to, you know, describe them, that they're able to find the restaurants and stuff.
And that's I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a big reason, why we don't have a restaurant. Not only do we not have space for a restaurant, but we didn't really want to run a restaurant.
So bravo to you for 20 years in the food and beverage industry.
That's why I have gray hair.
Me too. So, you know, we wanted to encourage people to go and walk on Main Street and try the restaurants and, you know, although, you know, sometimes it's cool to go to the, you know, the Ramble or these hotels where you can go there and stay there and eat there. But, you know, we wanted people we can do the stay part and we do it really well, but now get out and experience the city.
I like that. I rarely eat in a hotel other than breakfast. If, you know, if I'm there, I may have a nightcap there, but I like to go out and experience. And I always like to ask the hotel, what do you recommend? And you can tell somebody who really likes their job because they're like, oh, you need to go six blocks that way in this little place. Ask for Manuel. He owns a place. And yeah, we went to a place in Kentucky and stayed at the hotel. And the guy's like, I said, well, somebody recommended this. He goes, oh, you don't want that. It's corporate style. It's not what you think. You need to go check this little place called Corta Lima out. And it's this Spanish restaurant. We ended up staying there for 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Just drinking and eating and just slow. And they were telling us about all these other little places. Oh, you got to go to lunch at this place. And you got to go. It felt like we were in the city we knew, and we, you know, just spending time there. So I do think that makes such a big difference. And I think that experience, but you did mention that you have food sometimes. So is that, do y'all bring in food from other folks, for, like, cookies?
Yeah. Well, we do breakfast. So we provide breakfast, and we work with a Sandwich Depot across the street.
Okay.
Colin, who's the hardest working people I know.
One of the best human beings I know.
So he does. That was one thing we changed when we used to have, like, Carolina Cafe bagels and Allie and Eloise muffins and all that, like a continental breakfast. And then COVID, we had to shift gears. So then we did like prepackaged ones that was Sandwich Depot. So some things we changed and we kept. That was one of them. But then we do host events in the lobby sometimes. And we work with, you know, the Southern Ways and Abundant Grays and
We try to work with as many local businesses as possible. I mean, because it's so important for our guests to see what Columbia has to offer. And we just love doing that. And
we, like, Enda Coffee.
Yeah.
And Love Coffee. And all our beers on tap are all Columbia breweries.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Our furniture, Bricker and Bee made our furniture. I mean, it's just really, because before, you know, I was commuting to Orangeburg from Columbia, so I was not even part of the daily
life. 45 minutes of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Right down there.
My best friend in the world used to own the Budweiser distributorship there, and he lived in Columbia, and he commuted back forth every day. And every day I'd get 2 phone calls a day on the way in, on the way out.
Yeah. That's when I would call my best friend. I'm like, what you doing? Yeah. It was definitely time to think and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm happy about the decisions and the meandering road that has led us to Hotel Trundle. It's been quite a ride.
Not done yet.
No, not done yet at all.
I can tell. Y'all dreaming. Got the itch. Yes. Y'all are getting on the 7-year itch.
It's just a matter of like, yeah.
Well, you know, number 2 is the hardest. You know, we started opening restaurants and doing different concepts. Number 2 was always the one that was the hardest. And once you got through that hurdle, it just seemed like everything else just kind of number 2, because mm-hmm. you're shifting everything. You're now juggling 2. After that, it's like the third child of it, whatever, yeah. You know?
Because when you have 1, you're so hands-on.
Absolutely. And
it's hard to like focus all your attention here, because you're like, this is your baby, right?
It is your baby, and you're emotionally attached to it.
So.
And you were there. You were the one making sure that the grout was in the right place. You were the one, you know, screwing in, you know, the pictures and putting the beds together. Yeah. That nobody understands that unless you've been through it yourself. And so taking that next step, you know, is hard too, because you're leaving that only child and you're getting ready to bring that second one. You got to find that balance. But when you do and you get over it, I think I'm really excited to see what y'all come up with. I think Columbia is thriving and wants to have that next step. I think people will support it. I remember when Starbucks, I'm not supposed to talk about chains, but when Starbucks first came, you know, it took forever to get one. But then what people saw, people will embrace, which actually helped our local coffee shops bring up their level of service and pricing, where they could really provide everything that a Starbucks or somebody else is. And when you look at it, I mean, I was at end of today having a coffee in a meeting with somebody. There wasn't one table in the place open. It was completely packed. We were in the back. Mike let us sit in the back. I mean, I'm watching him roast beans back there while I'm having a meeting, but completely packed. But that's the exciting part about it, you know, and it shows that, you know, we want the big city stuff, but we still can be the small city. And that's what I love.
Yeah.
We don't have to go all the way. And I think what y'all have created and where your head is exciting. I think it's a great attribute. It brings something unique to our community. I think you're probably, you know, I think you've already experienced it. I mean, you started reeling off all the cities where you got people coming from, and they're choosing y'all. That's a compliment.
It really is.
People had chosen y'all from, you know, and you've seen all these cities. I mean, you reeled off everywhere from New York, D.C., Atlanta, Southeast, which, you know, is traveling. But, you know, I'm sitting here going, you know, how many license plates do I see from Ohio, from Canada that come here? There's a lady, literally, I've been in office 14 months as mayor, and I've probably gotten 3 messages from this lady. And every time, she's from Canada, her and her husband, they drive back and forth. They have a place in Florida and they stop in Columbia. This is where they stop, and they stay at a different place all the time.
Wow.
And they eat at different restaurants, and she'll send me a note. Hey, I was in town and just wanted you to know we had a great experience, but the entranceway coming into town, there was all this trash there. You know, you really ought to work on that. You know, and I'm like, saying that, number 2, you know, and yes, this is a battle we're fighting, but the fact that they've made it part of there, and I'm like, how many people are like that? And how many people have we that are on the outskirts that if we could get them to come downtown,
yeah,
what their experience would be like, you know, because you'll see in like the Harbison area or out off 77, you'll see all these hotels that are thing, and you're like, do some of these people just not come downtown? How do we get them to come downtown and experience? Because once they've done it, I don't think they'll ever stay. I'm not trying to take away from anybody's business, but you know, it makes you wonder.
I think about that all the time. I'm like, who is staying in these locations? Why are they coming here? What's, you know, what is the driving force behind their choices? And so, you know, I think it's clear for downtown because we're the heart of Columbia. But yeah, it's always interesting to think about and put some, you know, forensic thought behind.
From a marketing standpoint, how do I market, you know, because there's certain different travel. You got some business travelers who have to stay in their hotel and they've got to go do this. But then you've got these folks like this couple, the Darnells, that they just stop. You know, this is where they come and they've made it part. They usually come through on like a Thursday or Friday and they've experienced Soda City and they're like, we buy a bunch of stuff and we go.
You know, like I think it's great that Columbia is their stopping point, and you should ask them next time. Like how did you find out? Really?
That sounds familiar.
Ask them if they stayed at Hotel Trundle.
Yeah.
I was born in Canada, so. You know.
All right, wait a minute here. That's a whole nother story here. We're going from Canada to Orangeburg.
I know. My parents immigrated from India. One lived in Canada, one lived in England, and my dad moved to Canada for work. That's where they met. And he got a working visa from Chicago. He's a machinist by trade. And so they did the citizenship back then. It was like the 70s. So, and then they had an opportunity to buy a hotel in Orangeburg. It was the Red Carpet Inn. And that was our first hotel. So,
wow.
Yeah.
My parents immigrated. They were naturalized in 72 and 74.
Okay.
From where?
Switzerland. Parents moved here. Both of them had come like that separately. My mom was just traveling. She was going to spend a year in the U.S. and kind of, you know, just see what it's like, work a little bit and travel a little bit. And my dad was here working. He was a engineer by trade, and they met and got married and then moved back here because my dad and another guy had started a business, and that business was recruited to come to South Carolina to fill a gap in the textile industry. That's how we ended up here.
That's cool. Everyone has a really cool story.
I tell you, Columbia has more stories and more connections. I mean, I'm fortunate to have been able to travel a lot in my life and love to travel, but literally I go somewhere and I took my daughters to Lisbon last summer and we were in Portugal for 10 days and literally we probably ran into five or six people that had connections to people we knew in Columbia, South Carolina.
Wow. Or
somehow they had been here or, you know, in the military or
We're the Kevin Bacon of the world, I guess.
It's crazy.
It is. I know. It's true.
And it's always South Carolina. That's what boggles me, and how many people have been through Columbia, and the military has a big, big, big role in it. And I hope that you're getting some of the military families because, you know, that's about 250,000 family members coming through. And if you haven't had an experience, y'all should go with us one time to go experience graduation and meet the general and some of those folks. That'll make you feel good about yourself. When you watch these parents, and they see their kid have gone into basic training and come out a totally different person. It's pretty magical when you're there. But what's great is the compliments that we get when I walk around and introduce myself to folks. They're like, you know, we love this town. It's been so inviting. We've been to these restaurants. We're staying here. And, you know, it's pretty magical.
Yeah.
Pretty magical.
Definitely something to be proud of, for sure.
Well, folks, we're about to wrap up on another great episode. I want to thank Rita and Marcus for being here, but hey, look out for their next adventure. I think something's coming around the corner. I can tell Marcus is ready to go and Rita's ready to put the checkbook out. So I think something great is going to come. And if you haven't stayed at Hotel Trundle, go down, take a stay vacation. They'd love to have you experience, do something different. You got friends and family coming. And if my mother used to say that guests are like fish, they stink after 3 days. So send them to Trundle. let them stay down there and experience not only true Southern hospitality, but something unique that not every city has. And thank y'all for being here.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation. Yeah, I appreciate it.